We're going to introduce our next school of spiritual discipline this morning. And, our original plan was to next do the school of evangelism and fellowship. And I just feel like the Lord did not lead us in that direction. That is right. I was headed in that direction. And then, Carlton said, well, I'm not sure if that's it. And so we prayed about it some more. And we don't think that was it. That our next school is the school of abiding. And even if you did not finish the other school, please don't let that stop you from, this is where God has us. As a body. I mean, these things, this is not, I hope as just was described, this is not Steve or Stephen Carlton or Stephen Carlton and Ken coming up with stuff. And this is through God's leading that we study 2 Corinthians. And this is for you as a part of this body, if it hits you right where you live. That's not me. That's God. And so particularly, these things of where we are, that we not close our, or turn our head to it, that this is for each of us, that we, this is one way that God says He will speak to us and lead us is through the body and even the local body, the very local body that we are a part of, that He will lead us and direct us through that and hit us right where we are, right where we are in our walk with God. So, by the way, there's still, if you have not yet finished the school of prayer, it would actually work well with this. You could work it right in to what we're doing. And let me know if you have finished that so that we can get your certificates to you. So we've talked about this before. But I don't believe we have made a concerted effort as a body to move in this direction. And it's easy to talk about this, and I've talked about it many times, and the next day or the next week, not really put it into practice. But this is what the School of Spiritual Disciplines, I think, is about, is to help us put things into practice that we learn. So, a definition, sort of a direction, sort of a definition, I guess, an introductory definition. We'll understand more and more as we move in this direction, what this means. Abiding in Christ. There's a quote from Andrew Murray, there in your, on the back of your bulletin. The living union with Him, the experience of His daily and hourly presence and keeping. Therefore, my brother and sister, who wants to learn to abide in Jesus, take time each day before you read, while you read, and after you read, to put yourself in contact with the living Jesus. To yield yourself distinctly and consciously to His blessed influence. And we could add to that, throughout the day, many times a day, consciously put yourself in His presence and yield to His influence. I really believe there's a secret here, an open secret, to the joy of the Christian life, to obedience of the Christian life, and to fruit of the Christian life. I believe it's tied up in this. Now these things, this is what we're talking about here, is an experience of relating to God. It's an experience. So before we talk about an experience, there has to be a groundwork laid, and we've laid that groundwork. We can learn and learn and learn and continue to study and learn, and that helps. But sometimes we don't really put it into practice. And we don't experience this thing we're intended to experience of unbroken fellowship with God. That's God's intention for us. Now, like I said, I hesitate to talk much about experience without a nuts and bolts understanding. Now, I've read a few books on this topic, some older books, like I like to read, And I have a problem with some of them, is that such as practicing the presence of God, and I can't remember the other. There's one Brother Lawrence from like the 1600s, and there's another more recent guy. And they're sharing their experience. And there's been a few men throughout history that really share their experience of abiding in Christ, practicing the presence of God. But if you just share the experience and you don't pull it out of Scripture, you're just this thing of talking about an experience. You can go to the left or to the right. So we're going to always tie this back to the Word. And I just warn you, in case you find a book and you read about the practice, the presence of God or something like that, and it's just experiential without the nuts and bolts of the Scripture, then you want to be leery. So, but we still, if you had to choose between a church, if you had two extremes, one church that just talked experience and one church that just talked nuts and bolts and the theology and not about really teaching you how to put things in practice, choose the nuts and bolts. At least you can put it into practice. You can take the truth of the Word and you can put it into practice. The experience, it's exciting and it's more relevant, we would think, but it's easier to go astray with that. So, the basic elements. Jesus came and died and He rose again to reconcile a real relationship and to conform us to His image. A real relationship. That there's a realness and an experience of this relationship with God. I dare say that relationship is more than we are allowing it to be. That relationship with Him, that daily relationship with Him, there's more to it than we are allowing to happen. Are we really in contact with Him daily, hourly, every 15 minutes, minute by minute, to think of Him, to depend on Him? What is possible anyway? That's a big question here. What is it possible to be in contact? You have your business to go about. You have your jobs. You have to drive. You have to have conversations and interact. Is it possible to have this kind of contact with God? We still have to focus on these other things. Let's go to some nuts and bolts. And then we'll talk a little of the experience. Romans chapter 6. 3-8. For don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. So, we were identified. We know this. We've studied this. We're identified with the death of Christ. That old self, crucified on the cross, no longer has any control over us. We were identified with His burial. We're identified with His resurrection to live a new life. Old self is dead. We have imputed righteousness. That means we traded our sin in and He gave us righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. If He had not given us the righteousness of Christ, we could not be in His presence like He designed us, like He intends us to be. The resurrection life. Now, in that those verses we just read, they're a slew of foundational nuts and bolts verses about relating to God, about knowing Him. But look where it ended up in verse 8. Freed from sin and live with Him. That's not just a live with Him in eternity. That's a live with Him now. It is not just referring to heaven. Think of other phrases. Think of other phrases that are used. That we are in Christ. That we are to put on Christ. That we are to abide in Christ. That we are to follow Christ. That He is in us. That we are the temple of God. These are relational words, not just technical words to believe. They're relational phrases. We are to experience these things. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will always connect this abiding, this experience of God, to obedience. But there is, look at the relational aspect of that. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Those that have put their trust in Christ. That God, the triune God, will come and make his home with us, in us. Jesus said, follow me. He said, abide in me. He said also, with faith, you will do as I have done. Now think about one of the main things that Jesus did. It's something we studied not too long ago, about the humility of Jesus. He walked in complete dependence on the Father. Now he was showing us something there about how to live. He said, no word do I speak except it comes from the Father. No act do I do, but it comes from the Father. Dependence and fellowship. That was the life he lived. He lived in dependence on the Father, humility. Even though he was not weak, he still lived in dependence on the Father and in complete fellowship and contact with the Father. Let's go to Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, sometimes we read that knowing God, knowing Christ, as salvation, this one-time thing. That is not what Paul is talking about there. He speaks of knowing Christ and experiencing Him above all things, above all duties, above all thoughts, above anything. And in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks again of the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. And he talks about, we won't necessarily turn there, there's a whole chapter there in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we've gone into it in detail recently. These phrases that he uses, the knowledge of the God in the face of Christ, the life of Jesus being revealed in us. You know, if Jesus himself, when he walked this earth, if he looked people in the eye and they saw something, they saw his purity, his love, his goodness, and they desired to follow him. Jesus can be revealed, that same Jesus can be revealed in us. The life of Jesus is revealed in us. Paul says that in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And also in John 15, he says to abide in me. John 15:5, that first part of the whole chapter, John 15. He says, abide in me. That abide, sometimes it's translated in the NIV, remain. Other words could be to dwell, to tarry. Meno is the, M-E-N-O is the Greek word. Continue. To stay, it infers His presence with no barriers. To abide in Him is a connection, a relational connection with Jesus with no barriers. And to have unbroken fellowship with Him. And He says to His disciples, and I believe to us, I have called you friends. And in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, He says, we are God's fellow workers. Think about this when you have a friend that you have a common purpose with and common experiences with. It may be sports, it may be skiing, or maybe, you know, when you're, when I was single, I would, you know, these buddies that we would have adventures together and do all these things, we would just really, you'd become close friends. You had this common purpose. It may not have been a godly purpose necessarily, but we had this thing in common. Hopefully you have that with your spouse. And you become friends, close friends. And you kind of, you're heading the same direction. You have the same motive and the same purpose and things. And it brings you, so because of that, you have experiences together. And that even builds the friendship more. Well, when we are God's fellow workers, we are asked to join in with Him in His purpose. We have this same common purpose. We have experiences with Him. We come to know Him better. You see, all this is building up to this real, honest-to-goodness relationship communion with God Himself that has the potential to be constant. So I want you to see something here, that this is more than just having a good quiet time and then shifting to autopilot for the day and struggling to get the most out of the day that you can. It's much more than that. Now, it's great to have good quiet time. And I tell you, to do what we're talking about, you know, I'm not going to lay a law down, but it seems almost impossible to me to do it without some good, solid time alone with God in the Word. So it's hardly possible without that. But there is more for us in this contact with God. It's the experience of practicing His presence, abiding in Him, in contact with Him, conversing with Him, thinking of Him, relying on Him, and bringing Him glory by reflecting Him. We each have our own God-given personality, of course. And God, He may spirit empower that, but that's not, we don't receive a whole new personality when we walk with God. He just empowers the one that we have. But we become like Jesus. And we can know Him all the more when we become like Him. The more we become like Him, the more we reflect Him, the more we can know Him because we're more like Him. Does this seem impossible? Does this kind of life seem impossible? Does it even seem desirable? You know, as I have begun studying this again, I've studied it many times. As I began studying this again, and I began to realize that, wow, I have been like drifting on this. I have not been practicing His presence the way I once did. And so as I began to commit myself to practicing His presence, and I hope we'll at least do this week and next Sunday also, that you'll get a flavor of what this means to practice His presence, to abide in Him. And it's this discipline of your mind. And if you're focused on something, it could just be in the back of your mind, but to rely on Him, where it's just a natural, help me with this, Lord, or I want to see this better, or it's not self-focused in, you know, what do they call those, the amen parking lot, parking space, you know, where you find the parking space right next where you want. God does those things. I'm not denying that. But that's not our focus. That's not what it's about here. But I found myself resisting as I tried to practice His presence. I found myself because I kind of wanted to just think about what I wanted to think about. You know, I wanted to let my thoughts wander or whatever. Not that it was necessarily sinful thoughts, but I just wanted the freedom I felt was freedom. And I found myself resisting this idea of abiding in Him, of practicing His presence. And I think that as you go into this, I think you need to prepare that you may have a battle on your hands if you intend to abide in Christ, if you intend to really have communion with Him. So, let me throw this out there though, part B there on your outline. Don't fool yourself, or don't let yourself be discouraged, because we ourselves can fool ourselves into thinking that we're talking to God all day, when we are actually just, as was discussed the other day, we're just talking to ourselves. Don't be discouraged by those who claim to talk to Jesus all day, but have no real fruit in their life, and maybe are even self-focused. You've run into people that are self-focused. It's all about them, but yet they are always talking about Jesus, always saying Jesus this and Jesus that, but it all comes back to them. They don't pass the test. Like-mindedness with Jesus and fruit. Is there a deep passion for God and for the body and for the lost? And is there an others first attitude? That is the fruit of abiding in Christ. So if there's all the talk and the claim, there must be fruit. So you also can test yourself with this. Are these things true? If you are always consider yourself talking with God all day, but there's not real fruit in your life, if there's not a Christ-like mindedness, if there's not an others first type of attitude, if there's not, here's some other things. Here's some other things to look for as a result of abiding in Christ. Willingness to sacrifice. Is that not like Jesus? A willingness to sacrifice. A willingness to commit. You know, a lack of a willingness to commit to something is a sign of selfishness. And I've seen this in my life. All the way back when I told Lori this morning. All the way back when I was a little kid. And, you know, you get those little notes in grammar school. I love you. Do you love me? Check one. Yes or no. Well, being non-committal, I would draw another box and say, maybe. I left my options open. A lack of commitment. A lack of commitment to a team. I can remember struggling with that. I wanted to play sports, but I didn't really want to commit to that team because that meant I gave up my options of going out and playing in the woods every afternoon or going and doing whatever I wanted to do. And I never realized that until I was studying this, and even last night looking at it, that's one of the signs of a selfishness. It's a refusal. But think about marriage. Not just that you say I do, but you really commit your heart to another person, it takes away your options. Not just of other women or other men, but you're committed. It takes away other options too, because you're committed to that person. Any kind of commitment is a limiting of self. It's a limiting of self. It has to do with the body, with marriage, with anything you take up, really. So, let's go to John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you are abiding in Christ, you are connected to the vine. There will be fruit. There will be fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All those things. Faithfulness. I always forget at least one. And also these other things we talked about. A willingness to sacrifice. I think that's one of the things that I really see in there. That willingness to sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. If you are abiding in Christ. So, I throw this out there just so to keep us honest. So we don't fool ourselves. If we're there talking about, we can be talking about God all day and even thinking we're talking to Jesus during the day. But if there's not fruit, if there's not obedience, if there's not these things, then we probably need to make sure. Is what we're doing real? Is it real? Or is it just we like to verbalize? We just talk to ourselves. So, second thing to be aware of in abiding in Christ. This is a prerequisite to abiding in Christ. To know your weakness. And probably over the last year, I think God has made my weakness more clear to me than ever in my life. And I found that the weaker I go, the more aware I am of my weakness, the more likely I am to rely on God. John 15:5 again, it says, you can do nothing apart from me. Outside of communion with God, outside of His fellowship, you can do nothing. Think of those times, they may be many, hopefully they're few, that you're in a mode of being outside of fellowship with God. You can do nothing of any value during that time. Now, something I am discovering is that the more I am in fellowship with God, the more I abhor sin or anything that would take me out of His presence. Because the more I'm with Him, the more I'm enjoying His sweet fellowship. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If only we would see our true weakness. Many of us say, oh, I'm weak, I can't do anything, or whatever like that. I don't have any talent, I don't have this or that. But if we would see our true weakness and see our potential for Christ's likeness in the connection to the vine, maybe that would give us some urgency and heighten our sense of dependence. If when we see our weakness, if we would see our weakness, really see it, really acknowledge it, even our rebellion, our stubbornness, or our whatever it might be, if we would really see that, and then really see that we, each of us, have the, if we are believers, we have the potential for Christ's likeness in us if we stay connected to the vine. Knowing that seems like it would give us some urgency. And so, God obliges us, and He takes us through circumstances and situations that allow us to see our weakness. Praise God. I praise Him. I thank Him. I boast in my weaknesses, for in my weakness, I am strong. When I really get a hold of it, how weak I am, then I am strong. Because I can turn to Him and rely on Him. Maybe it would help us see clearly that praying without ceasing is a need of my life. The need of my life. If we would see our failures as evidence of our need to constantly depend on God and not turn them into pity parties. We all see our failures, I think. Some people, I wonder, but most of us, I think, see our failures. But if we would take those failures and see those as opportunities to depend on God rather than pity parties, I think we would see strength come out of them. We don't just talk about our weaknesses and use them as excuses. No, in our weaknesses, He will be strong if we will yield to Him and abide in Him. Choose your battles. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Guess I'm having trouble leaving 2 Corinthians behind, huh? And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. If we make it our main battle to stay connected to the vine in His presence, then He will be seen in us. This is the most difficult battle you have. Right here. This is the most difficult battle you have. To maintain connection to the vine. Because we want to go off and go our own way. We would rather have some good, solid, quiet time and then go on about our day and not really have to concern ourselves so much with yielding to Him throughout the day. If you think about it, here you are, you're yielded to God, you're walking in His presence. Somebody says something ugly to you. Something happens that frustrates you. You're right there. You know how you want to respond. But how do you respond? God, help me. Help me to respond like You respond. It's immediate. You're there already. If you're not there with Him, it's too late. It's already out of your mouth. It's already in your head. It's too late. If we will fight this battle, if we will make this our main battle, other battles will be less. The battle to submit. The battle to obey. The battle to respond in love. The battle to be honest. The battle to have integrity. The battle to do a good job at work. The battle to be patient. The battle to have joy. But if we will make this our battle, to rely on Him, to stay connected to Him, to converse with Him, to pray without ceasing, then the other battles will be less. 1 Timothy 4:7, the last part of that verse says, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. That means, I believe this is the main discipline. That means we consciously rely on Him. We submit to Him. We yield to His influence we keep our minds stayed on Him. And here again, if you are walking, if you are enjoying fellowship with Him, you will have a disdain for your rebellion instead of a love for your rebellion. Because if you're walking in fellowship with Him, you feel your rebellious heart come up. You will have a hatred for that rather than a love for it. Because we like to give in to our rebellion. We must. We do it. We must like to give in to that rebellion. But if we have this ongoing communion, fellowship, abiding in Christ, we will hate it because it's going to rip us away from our communion with God. Anything that breaks fellowship with Him, we'll have a disdain for. The body and abiding. You see, even mysteriously, we are all intertwined. We have a unity and share the same spirit. What happens with one of us affects the rest of us. Obedience in me affects you. Disobedience in me affects you. And vice versa. It all is intertwined. Rebellion in the body affects all. Stubbornness in the body affects all. Disobedience, sin, obedience, abiding, walking in the Spirit, praying without ceasing. These things affect all also. Some of the difficulty in abiding, practicing His presence, can be taken out by the body as a whole, taking up this mantle and deciding to, I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to have fellowship and communion with Him. And I don't know if it strikes you like this, but to me, I see hope in obeying when I think about it like this. I see some hope in obeying. If I get out of bed and my first thought is of Him, and my first thought is of communion with Him, then surely I will be in the Word. That's my desire. Surely I'll be praying. When I leave my quiet time to go about my business, He's on my heart. He's in my mind. When I interact with my wife, my children, then He's likely to be seen in me. When I see someone on the street, when I interact in business dealings, surely He will be seen in me. I'm with Him. He is with me. Not just in my heart. There's no barriers because I'm confessing my sin. Any sin is a barrier. Any rebellion is a barrier. He's not going to be seen in you. You're going to have very much difficulty in obeying and following through on the things He's dealt with you on. Let's go back to this Ephesians 2:19. Thinking of, if there's one person or two people or individuals abiding, walking in His presence, practicing His presence, Jesus being seen, but think of the whole body. It's a description. It's meant for the whole body. It's not meant for a special few. If the whole body would take this up. You see, this is why we went to this first before we went to evangelism and fellowship. You see? It became clear after the decision to go with this that, well, if people are not ready, if they go and they are from their own strength trying to share Jesus, it's not going to work. Sure, they may gather some people in. But it's not going to be real. But if Jesus can be seen in you, you'll be motivated by a love for the lost. You'll be motivated to fellowship with the body because you love the body. Because Jesus loves the body and He is in control of you. So you'll have a love, a passion to be with the body, to fellowship, to share with those that don't know Him. It comes out of where it's supposed to come out of, from Him, from your communion, your connection to the vine. Verse 19 through 22. Think of this as we read this, abiding as it relates to the body as a whole, each individual and together. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. In Him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We're in this together, and our daily yieldedness or unyieldedness affects the whole body. So, I'm not quite ready to give you your notebooks to your daily plan to follow, because we're going to try to do this 30 days of abiding. Here again, some motivation, some encouragement to get into the habit of this daily walking with God. But before we even do that, begin now. Commit yourself to doing this. Do you see the hope in this? The joy in this? This is what it's about. You study all this stuff, all this theology, all these things we have studied. We've gone into detail. Now, this is the experience of putting those things into practice. It's the joy of life. It's the joy of the Christian life. This thing, this fellowship, communion with Jesus. So, even though we haven't officially begun, start now. And I will tell you, this takes time. You will fail. I just shared with you. I've tried to, you know, this is something that's been on my mind for a long time that's abiding. So I felt the Lord just calling me to step it up a notch. Well, so I commit myself to doing this. And immediately I fail. So my failure, though, just tells me of my weakness, my need to depend on Him. It is the grandest, but most difficult, the most satisfying, the most eternal thing you can do. To be in fellowship with no barriers, in communion with Him, abiding in Him. It's your destiny. As a branch, it's your destiny to be in union, connected to the vine, and bearing fruit. Abide in Him and bear much fruit. It's your destiny. It's what God has called you to. It's your ministry, if you would. Let's pray. Lord, we just take a minute to think about You, to consider our response to what You have put on our heart. So, Lord, we just pray that You would speak to us through Your Word, through what has been taught, and that You would make clear that we could hear from You. In Jesus' name.